Thank you. Be seated. Once again, join me in the book of Philippians. Chapter 2, verses 19 through the end of the chapter. Hear the infallible, inerrant word, the holy inspired word of the living God. Philippians 2:19. Paul writes, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you, for I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare, for they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, and how as a son with a father he has served with me in the gospel. I hope therefore to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me, and I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. I have thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker, and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need, for he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I am the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy and honor such men. For he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. I do pray the Lord's blessing on the reading, hearing, and with the Spirit's help, the understanding of his word. Today we come to the end of one of the most incredible chapters we will find in all of Holy Text. It's Paul's teaching on one of the foundational elements of the Christian faith, and that's humility. Again and again and again we see here Paul's encouragement to consider others better than ourselves. Paul teaches this aspect of humility, but then, as a good teacher, he gives us several examples. First of all and foremost is Jesus Christ himself, which is in the middle portion of chapter 2. Jesus Christ, who in his humanity thought of himself not able to grasp that divinity that was actually his. He made that total sacrifice of leaving that wonderful throne place he had in heaven to come and serve those like us who have an incredible need in our sinfulness. But then also examples that we see today that Paul has given us. Two further examples of being that supreme servant, considering others better than ourselves. Timothy and Epaphroditus considering others better than themselves. Paul gives us these gentlemen, and we should regard them as servants of the highest rank. They are given to serve, and we see their service. Timothy more than others, more than Epaphroditus, but both of these men serving the church. But let us also look at these men, yes, as servants, but also as individuals to be followed and to be imitated. And they should be done by those like us who follow along behind them. Servants. Paul has given us three, him himself, so there's four actually. During my study this week, I ran across a little neat tidbit that as I pondered on it, had a powerful message about speaking being a servant. St. Bede's Episcopal Church in Santa Fe, New Mexico, had a sign at one point over the door coming into the church. The sign read simply, Servant's Entrance. And there was no other way to get into the church. The fire marshal would have had them. There was only one way in and one way out, and that was over the door when you came in. So you had to enter through the servant's entrance. not a bad reminder of the fact that every believer is called to be a servant. And so, as entitled this service, the sermon, "The Christian, the True Servant." Now, as I was reading this week in several places, there are some that would wonder why the Holy Spirit would give this much text to travel plans, basically what this is, travel plans of three individuals. But I hope and I pray that the Holy Spirit would use this scripture, as all scripture is God-breathed and it is for our good, and so is this. So I pray that the Holy Spirit would teach us what he has for us in the remainder of this chapter. These choice men whom Paul commends highly to the Philippian church are two men worth imitating as we seek to serve the Lord. Along with Paul, they have much to teach us. And so let's dig in to see what they have about being a true Christian servant. First lesson is that we are to imitate these men as they imitate Jesus Christ. And to do this, we must cultivate a servant's heart. Imitate them as they imitate Christ, as they imitate these gentlemen. We must cultivate a servant's heart. We must work out our salvation, as we spoke of 2 weeks ago. We must work out our salvation in this way, praying to the Holy Spirit, "Create a servant's heart within me." Now, those of you gifted with mercy, those of you gifted in that serving manner, this comes much easier for you than folks like myself, who God did not quite bless with all that mercy and serving. And so my prayer might be a little stronger here than some of you, because God gifts us differently as we have need in the church. But then we pray that, create that servant's heart within me, and then working along with the Spirit to cultivate that heart of service. We see this in Paul, that servant's heart. He was a man who was totally focused on the way of Christ, Christ in me. He repeated many times in verse 19 that I read here. He said, "I hope in the Lord to send Timothy to you soon." Then in verse 24, he said, "I trust in the Lord that I myself may come soon." Paul is saying, we will do these things if it is the Lord's will. He's focused on Jesus Christ. His heart was focused on the Lord's direction. It showed that Paul did not make decisions in his own wisdom, but he sought the Lord always in his direction. And so as we cultivate a servant's heart, "Lord, what is your will for my life?" Timothy's focus was on the Lord as well. Paul states that unlike many others, Timothy was not seeking his own interest, but he looked to Jesus Christ in his way. Timothy served the Lord by preaching. Remember, he was a young preacher in the church in Ephesus when Paul left him. A very young man, but he served the Lord. He served the church preaching. Jesus and the gospel were at the center of Timothy's life. Epaphroditus. Now, sidebar here, just quickly. I find it kind of, I don't understand why they're using Epaphroditus' Greek name in text, but they don't use Timothy's Greek name in text. Y'all can call me Timotheus from now on. Epaphroditus was also a very faithful servant, almost to the point of death. Every Christian should do what she or he does, whether it's giving, helping, teaching, whatever, as a servant offering to the Lord Jesus. And that servant's heart, a servant's heart is centered on the gospel, on the Lord Jesus Christ. This speaks to motive. What's the ambition of our hearts? Why am I here? Why am I doing what I'm doing? What's my motivation? Is it Christ-centered, or is there another? Here in Paul and Timothy and Epaphroditus, that question is answered. Christ-centered. Matthew Henry writes, in every duty, our eyes must be ever towards the Lord, whatever we do. All right, now, being a true servant with a heart focused on the Lord Jesus, we should see several attributes. What does a true servant look like, sound like? Well, there's several here I'll point out to you. First of all, a true servant is willing to go anywhere. Anywhere. It would have been easy for Timothy to leave Paul. Excuse me. It could not have been easy for Timothy to leave Paul in Philippi. Timothy and Paul, to say they were close, that would be an understatement. Father-son relationship. So it could not have been easy when Paul said, Timothy, you have to go to Philippi. But Timothy went because he saw that as the Lord's will to go. It was not easy for Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus was in Philippi. He came to see Paul in Rome. And Paul turned him around and sent him right back to Philippi. And he almost died on the trip to Rome. But Epaphroditus saw that it is what the Lord desired. Question for us all. Have you said to the Lord these words that the prophet Isaiah spoke? Here I am, Lord. Send me. Next attribute that a true servant is willing to serve anyone. Willing to serve anyone. Again, Timothy served Paul. He was with him here in Rome. Remember, Paul's in prison at Rome, but he's under house arrest. He's chained to a Roman guard, but the house is open. So his servants, Timothy, Titus, the ladies who were there, they could come and go out of the house. And so Timothy had access to Paul. But he was willing to leave Paul and go to Philippi. Again, Epaphroditus served the church in Philippi, but he had heard that through letter, Paul said, come to Rome. And so he went to Rome. A true servant of Jesus Christ isn't out to make a name for ourselves, serving just who we think is the right one to be served, and not you guys. No, we serve anyone. And here's the tough one. A true servant with a heart for the Lord is willing to sacrifice everything. Nothing is protected. Timothy had given up his family to become a servant of Jesus Christ, working alongside Paul. Again, Epaphroditus almost lost his life, sacrificing everything for the service of the Lord. We read back over in Acts chapter 20. Paul said to the Ephesian church, I do not account my life of any value nor as precious to myself to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And we read that profound passage in Romans chapter 8, where he considered himself the Hebrew of Hebrews, a zealous for religious, and taught it, but he gave it all, considered it all rubbish for the work of the Lord. Now, when I say sacrifice everything, there are those of us, those of you who are called to do just that. Sacrifice everything and leave home, mama, daddy, children, whatever, and go, leaving everything behind. Then there are some who are called into the ministry of the Lord, which stays right here. Yet sacrificing everything means everything takes a back seat. You still work, you still conduct life, you still go to school, you still do this, but that's all secondary to my work for the Lord. So don't read into sacrificing everything means you got to sell everything and go to Belize as a missionary. We're looking for those. But sacrificing everything also means that everything of my life, even if he puts me right here where I am, it all is secondary. it all is secondary. Again, have you told the Lord Jesus Christ that I'm willing to give up everything? My desires, my ambitions, my comforts, my time, my money to serve. Lord, what do you desire me to do? I've told you the story many times. Standing on that football field in 1997, Neyland Stadium, Knoxville, Tennessee, Promise Keepers, two men standing at my, or on their knees praying at my feet. And I said, Lord, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? Four years later, I ended up at New Sterling. Thirdly, a true servant puts others above themselves, ahead of themselves, which is a natural outpouring of the previous that I've given you. Here in chapter 2, Paul has repeatedly, in humility, count others more significant than yourself. I think he's trying to get a message across to us. In our passage today, we see each of these gentlemen doing just what Paul is teaching. Paul is in prison, awaiting possible execution. He would eventually. And Timothy was his right-hand man, a faithful son who served him hand and foot, as a child would a father. And it would have been easy for Paul to say, look, Tim, you just stay here. I need you here. But Paul put the Philippian church ahead of his needs and said, Timothy and Epaphroditus, go to Philippi. I'll be fine. Epaphroditus had been willing to serve and sacrifice all for the church, but you see these men just going and serving the Lord, giving up everything, sacrificing, putting others above themselves, doing what the Lord had called them to do, the true servant of Jesus Christ. In our world today, we like to teach, some like to teach, we don't so much, Jesus and. I'll go do that, Jesus, but I got to have and do and you protect. I'll teach Sunday school, but let me do the, you know. No, yeah, do this, do. But is Jesus first and foremost, and you're willing to go anywhere, you're willing to give up everything, you're willing to sacrifice everything? To do and to be and to go where the Lord asks, demands that you go and do. In Mark chapter 9, Jesus says, if anyone would be first, he must be last of all and the servant of all. Fourthly, a true servant will endure hardships. Serving Jesus Christ is not easy, and it is not for the faint-hearted. Paul refers to Epaphroditus as a fellow soldier, which implies that the Christian ministry can be a battle. He says that Timothy has proven his worth, which implies that he has gone through the trials of testing. Now, a neat thing to find out here is this word, this phrase, proven trials, is the same word Paul uses over in Romans chapter 5 when he speaks of suffering. He says that suffering, proven worth, produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. So when he calls Timothy a proven servant, has proven character, he sees him as that one who has the character, the fortitude, the courage to be that one that was faithful. This phrase over here, when Paul says, I have no one like him, that's a little misleading. What the phrase actually says is there is no one who is like-minded like me, except for Timothy. So when you see the attributes of Paul, those same attributes are found in Timothy. He has proven his worth. And so Paul says, Timothy, go to Philippi. it would be just like me, Paul, going to Philippi. He has proven his worth. He has proven his value. Hardships. And know this. The testing, the trials, the hardships, they can come from every direction. Both inside the church and outside the church. Paul was in prison due to the persecution outside the church. The Jewish people didn't like him. They sent him to Rome. He's in prison, etc., etc. So persecution from outside the church. Paul was also under attack from those inside the church. Remember back in chapter 1 when I read of those who were preaching out of envy and selfish ambition because they wanted to be seen bigger and better than Paul? So hardships can come from inside the church and outside the church. Hardships can also just come simply by the work of the ministry. This ain't easy work. The work of the gospel involves both physical and emotional strains that can wear a person down to their knees, which is not a bad place to be. We must be prepared. The teaching of the Bible says, measure the cost. Measure the cost. We must be prepared for the hardships as we serve and then rely on the sustaining grace of God to get us through. Not our own strength, not our own wisdom, not our own willpower. How many of you have woken up in the morning or are been faced with something and say, Lord, I cannot take another step? I cannot move from this place until you move me, you show me, you take me, you kick me in the seat of the pants, something, but I'm done. And then that door opens or that light comes on and the energy comes and you take the step. Because working for Jesus Christ ain't easy. Finally, in verse 29, Paul says that the Philippian church is to honor such men as Timothy and Epaphroditus. A true servant of Jesus Christ will be honored. However, and this is a very underlined, bolded, however, the Christian should not ever strive to be honored. But we're told in Scripture, actually in 1 Samuel, that those who honor God, God will honor them. Jesus says, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father. Well, the opposite of that is true as well. If you honor me before men, I will honor you before my Father. Paul writes in 1 Timothy, let the elders who rule well, and he's speaking to the ruling elders, pastors also, but he's speaking more to the ruling elders, let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor. We don't strive for it, but if we serve well, the honor comes. And any hardship we suffer now in the service of Jesus Christ will be well worth it when we stand before Jesus Christ and he honors us with these incredible words. Well done, good and faithful servant. I like the second half. Enjoy the joy of your master. And yes, there will be honor from our Lord Jesus Christ, but only for those who are willing to give it all and be that true servant. As I said earlier, Philippians chapter 2 is one of the great theological passages in all of holy text. And Paul says we should do nothing from selfish ambition, nothing from an empty conceit. We are in humility, consider others better than ourselves. We have the example of the Lord Jesus Christ who did not consider the divinity anything he could grasp, but he gave himself up to death and death on a cross. But then he was honored by God the Father, who put his name above all names. In that we see Jesus had that servant's heart. And he gave everything. Let us strive to be imitators of Timothy and Epaphroditus and Paul, but most of all of Jesus Christ himself. Be that true servant. The Christian faith, it is built on the backs of servants all through history. First and foremost, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. Then on the backs of all those great saints that followed along behind. Our faith, our religion, our denomination, our faith is built on those servants that have gone before us. And so we pray, Holy Spirit, make us that true servant, willing to go, willing to put others first, willing to give up everything, willing to be whatever he desires us to be. And as we're about to sing, let us work side by side, guarding each one's dignity, to serve together, to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.